To study together, we began a study entitled Why We Need to Hold Forth the Word of Life. And we covered four areas in that study. We saw that the first reason why we should hold forth the Word of Life is, number one, we saw that in the Word of Life, or in the Word, we find Christ. Amen. And we saw how Philip the evangelist preached out of the Word of God to lead the Ethiopian eunuch to Christ, and how Apollos used the Word of God to convince the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. And then finally we saw that Jesus himself said, in the Scriptures you think you have eternal life, the Scriptures, they testify of me. You'll find me there. Then we saw the second reason why we need to hold forth the Word of Life is because in the Word we find salvation. In the Word we find salvation. We found that we were not born again of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, the Word of God. Amen. And then number three, the reason we need to hold forth the Word of Life is that in the Word we find faith. For then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you're listening to something, anything else in the Word of God, then you're not going to have get the faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We saw that a good example we saw was Cornelius and his household. Amen. They heard, they received faith by what? They heard about the Peter's preaching, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They heard it. They believed it. The Holy Ghost fell upon them, they received the Holy Spirit, and they were born again. And then the last point we saw, number four, was the reason we need to hold forth the Word of Life, is in the Word we find life. Amen. Not only spiritual, but physical life as well. The fifth thing in our study, in why we need to hold forth the Word of Life, is because in the Word we grow. We find growth. It's by the Word that we grow. We find growth in the Word. Amen. Look at in First Peter chapter 2 with me. In 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse number 2, he says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Now, that's how you grow spiritually, amen, is by the Word of God. That's how you grow overall spiritually, is studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God, and memorizing the Word of God, amen. That's your food. And, of course, the great illustration is as a baby grows and he eats soft food, and then, he drinks the milk, and then some soft food, and then some more solid food, and then finally, as he progresses and he grows up, he has steaks and so forth and so on. And that should be the progression of growth in the Word of God. We study the simple things, the plan of salvation, assurance, the need to be totally immersed in water as the believer's baptism as an outward symbol that you've received Christ into your heart. It's a picture of your death to the old nature is that burial as you go into the water. Your resurrection is walking in the newness of life that you now have in Christ. You know, the simple things. And as we go on, we grow in the things of the Lord, and then we're able to take, as Paul said, the meat of the Word, the more things that you need to study, the deeper things in the Word of God. But that's where it's found. That's how you grow in the Word of God. You don't grow by reading this book that this theologian wrote, or that book, amen. You know, when you first get saved, you really need to stick to the Word of God, the Bible. That's how you grow. And you need to be under good, solid Bible preaching and teaching in a good Bible-believing church, one that stands on the King James Bible, that believes that that's the inerrant, inspired Word of God, amen. So we see that we need to hold forth the Word of Life, because in the Word we find growth, amen. That's how we disciple people, with the Word of God. We don't disciple, there are many, don't get me wrong, there are many good disciple booklets out there and courses and so forth, but our main reference document has to be the Word of God. Not what somebody else has said, but what the Word of God has to say, amen. That's why I encourage you to come up with your own discipleship program based on the things that you find in the Word of God, not on what the denomination says or some doctor says or some famous theologian says. It's in the Word of God that you're going to find growth, and people are going to grow by reading and studying the Word of God. Also in specifics, look at what in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, what he says. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. He says, but grow in grace. But grow in grace, what? In, not only grow in grace, but in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. See, in specific, if you want to grow in grace, you want to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, everything that you want to know about grace is found in the Word of Life, is found in the Word of God, between the covers of the Bible. Amen. I mean, you love Jesus Christ, don't you? Don't you want to know more? If you love someone, you want to know more and more about them, what they like, what they don't like. If you want to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you need to be in the Word of Life. You're going to find everything you need to know, not only about grace, but about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he likes and he dislikes, how we should live for him and how we should not live for him and what displeases him. It's all found in the Word of Life. That's why we need to hold forth. That's why as a preacher, as a pastor, I need to hold forth the Word of God and teach my flock so they can grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so they can grow in grace, amen, as I proclaim the Word, as I exhort and admonish and encourage with the Word, amen. You know why? You know why many Christians' spiritual growth is stunted? Is because they're not reading, studying, and memorizing the Word of Life like they should. Well, I don't even know who's listening out there today. I can probably know that the problem that you have is you're not studying, amen, reading, and memorizing the Word of Life, the Word of God, like you should. Amen. Most Christians fall short of that. Most Christians fall short of the basic things of Christianity and living for Christ. That's reading your Bible, studying your Bible, memorizing your Bible, amen, belonging to a good Bible-believing, preaching, teaching church that takes a stand on the Word of God, being scripturally baptized after salvation, amen, supporting the local church through your tithes and offerings, being a blessing to the pastor. These are all simple things. But you know what? The majority of Christians stumble at them. And why is that? Because they do not want to believe the Word of God. I tell people that they're struggling financially, and probably the reason for that is because they're not giving to God and the work of God like they should. And all I can do is go on my own experience. When I was first saved 17 years ago, and the preacher showed me out of the Word of God, he didn't make it up, that this is what how I'm to give to God according to the Scriptures, I had no problem with it. And from then on, I did what I was supposed to do. And I'm not bragging about it. I don't give as much as I should be. Amen. But praise the Lord, I saw that. I believe what the Word of God said. And all I can say is he has met my needs and my family's needs. And he's blessed me. Amen. If he doesn't bless me anymore, that's fine. But he has blessed me beyond imagination. Praise the Lord. So I'm just speaking from experience. Okay. Amen. In the Word of Life, you find growth. Now, the sixth thing we want to see is we need to hold the Word of Life because in the Word we find cleansing. Amen. You know, you get saved, you get born again, but you know what? If you've been saved for any period of time, you know you struggle with that old man that's still in you. Amen. We're supposed to reckon him dead, but boy, does he want to get up. Every morning, he wants to get resurrected. He wants us to listen to him, amen. But we need to be, what? Yielded to the Spirit of God, amen. How can you and I can be yielded to the Spirit of God? We need a good cleansing. Amen. So when we get saved, we get cleaned. Amen. We get cleaned. But as we walk, we need a continuing cleansing. Amen. And also we talk about the, you've heard the name, doctrine of sanctification. Big name. But it's a setting apart of God. And that's a process. Salvation is an event. It takes place the moment, the instant you call upon the name of the Lord. But it just doesn't end there. God doesn't kill you and take you to heaven. You've got to live for him. And there's a process called sanctification, that's setting apart for the work of the Lord and for God. And that's a period of time. And you need to be set apart. And you can be set apart, you can be clean, only by cleansing that you find in the Word of Life. Look at what Jesus said to his disciples. And this also applies to you and me today, right now. Amen. Currently. Amen. The Word of God, we change with the Word of God, and God never changes. John chapter 15 and verse number 3, he said to his disciples, ye are clean. How? Not through your good works, not by your character or who you are or where you went to school or what your occupation is or who your parents are or what club you belong to or what synagogue. He says, no, now you are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. You are cleaned, amen, by the spoken word of God. That's why you need to be in church every time the doors are open, amen. You spend most of your life in the world, do you not? Working in the world, living in the world, rubbing up against the world, amen. And you need, and I need a cleansing, amen, and a good one. And you need to be in church every time the doors are open. You need to go into that dry cleaning, amen, and hear the preached word of God. But also, you need to do it on your own. You need to go and study and read the word of God and heed what it says and get your cleaning on your own. So if you're disciplined enough to get cleaning on your own and then go and hear the preaching of the word of God and get that, be cleansed by the spoken word of God, then things are going to, you know, go like they should, amen, for you, amen. You're going to be living for the Lord, although you're going to come up against things. Everything isn't going to be, as they say, honky-dory. Amen. But for the most part, amen, you're not going to be creating your own problems. Amen. Praise the Lord. Notice what Jesus also said in John chapter 17, verse 17. He said, as he prayed to the Father, this is the Lord's Prayer, not Matthew 6, as the disciples' model prayer. But in John 17, that whole chapter is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, praying to his Father. And he says, sanctify them through thy word is truth. That's how you and I can be sanctified. That's how we can be set apart for God, through the word of God. Amen. Jesus asked the Father to set us apart, to sanctify us through the word. Thy word is truth. We're to be set apart by the truth, the word of God, the word of life. That's the only way that process of sanctification, that continually setting us apart, that continually conforming us to the image of Christ can take place, is by the word of God, the cleansing that you and I find in the word of God. Amen. And look at what the advice that the psalmist gave to the young man, to young people in particular. But it applies to all generations. Amen. You have to turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 with me. And when you get to Psalm 119, I want you to look at verse 9 with me. Verse 9. Psalm 119 in verse number 9. He asked a question. The psalmist asked a question. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Amen. How can he cleanse his way? How can he cleanse the way that he lives? Amen. How can he keep clean? The answer is by taking heed thereto according to thy word. In other words, listening, heeding the warnings in the word of God. If that young person or any person for that matter wants to cleanse his way, wants to stay clean, then he needs to take heed. You know, listen to the warning in the word of God, that the word of God teaches on how to be clean and what to stay away, who and what to stay away from. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. In the Word we find cleansing, to cleanse our way, how we live. You know, that's what that word way means. It has the meaning of how a person lives, amen, and conducts themselves, amen, and lives before others. All Christians, there's no one exempt from us, amen. We all need a continual cleansing that can only come from the Word of Life. And we are to use the Word of Life to not only to see we need a cleansing, amen, by coming under old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction, but also to use the Word of God as a cleansing agent, amen. So we need to hold forth the Word of Life, amen, because in the Word we find cleansing. The seventh and last area that I want to cover is we need to hold forth the Word of Life, because in the Word we find comfort. We find comfort. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, Paul wrote to the believers at Thessalonica, okay? They were concerned. They had friends and they had loved ones, amen, who had died, physically died, you know, believing in the death, the burial, and the resurrection, who were saved. And they were concerned about what's going to happen to them. Have they perished? Are they going to come up? Will we ever see them again? And Paul says, well, they're not like those that have no hope. You know, people that don't know, that are not saved, where they're going to go when they die. Because he gives us, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant, he goes on, he says, or sorrow over those who have died before you believing in Christ. He said, for if we believe, he says in 1 Corinthians 4:14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, in other words, also that believed that Jesus Christ died and rose again, will God bring with him. What he's describing here is the rapture of the church, the catching away of the body of Christ, which is to happen, could happen at any time, amen. It'd be great, as I was speaking, that we all went up at the rapture, amen, praise the Lord, that'd be great. But he goes on and he talks about how the Lord's going to come for us himself, how those that have died believing in Christ are going to be resurrected first, and then we'll go up, those that are remaining, as Paul writes in the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that wonderful chapter on the resurrection, he talks about those that are in the grave, those that have been corrupted, their bodies have corrupted, have disintegrated, have turned to dust. Well, they're going to come up. They're going to be put on incorruption. And then we which are alive, which are mortal at his coming, will put on immortality, and we're going to be with the Lord. But he will be caught up together with the Lord to ever be with the Lord. We'll meet him in the air. And then that last verse of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, Paul says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. In other words, the words that he just spoke about what's going to happen to those that have died in Christ, to those of us that are alive. He said, they've not perished. You're not going to perish. We're all going to go up. We're all going to meet the Lord. He's coming for himself. He's coming for us himself. And he said, all of these things that I just spoke to you about should bring you comfort. Amen. See, in the Word of God, we find comfort like you cannot find anywhere else. Amen. That's right. You know, if you're going through a trial and a tribulation and a struggle and you don't understand things and, you know, don't ever try to figure out God, because his ways are not our ways. Amen. And praise the Lord for that. But just go to the Scriptures for comfort. Remember, you may be feeling, oh, what's the use? I'm discouraged. But comfort yourself with these words about what the outcome's going to be. Amen. You're not going to be down on this earth forever. You're not going to be working for that overbearing boss or whatever situation you may be in. Because someday you're going up at the rapture if you're saved. Amen. comfort. Find comfort. Whatever you're struggling with, the Word of God can provide you comfort through the Word. That's also what a preacher, you know, he's supposed to preach the whole counsel of God. Amen. We just can't get up there Sunday after Sunday with a sledgehammer in our hands and pound away at the sheep. Amen. Sometimes we need to preach comfort. A lot of times people are hurting. Amen. This is a hurting life. It's a wicked, wicked world that we're living in. People are suffering every day. Amen. People are dying on the streets there in India. Amen. But praise the Lord, we can find comfort in the Word of life. How about Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. How many ever heard that read at a funeral, even for saved and unsaved people? Amen. And that really brings comfort, that Psalm, the money. How about Jesus when he said he was going to go away? Remember? The disciples were sad. This is also read at funerals. Amen. In John 14, he said in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there may ye be also." See, Jesus is comforting those. They didn't know where he was going. This is often read at funerals when a loved one has died, a Christian has died, to say, hey, this isn't the end. They're going to be with Jesus. Jesus has prepared a place for them. He's prepared a place for you and I. We'll eventually all meet up there someday. Comfort. You know? All of these passages of Scripture, amen, Psalm 23, John 14, 1-3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, and the verses that came before it, these passages of Scripture should bring comfort at the time of death of a loved one. You see, this wicked world of ours tries to bring comfort through so-called self-help books, self-help gurus, and self-help groups. But you notice in each one of these things that I mentioned is there's a price tag. You have to pay for the books, you have to pay for the advice of the guru, you have to pay for the time with the group. Amen. But you know what? God's words of comfort are free. They're found in his word, the word of life. Amen. See, you notice everything I put self. Amen. Self-help books, self-help gurus, self-help groups. Self trying to solve its own problems. Self trying to comfort self. The only way that you and I can be comforted is through Almighty God. And you can find that comfort in the Word of Life, my friend. Amen. There's nothing equal in the comfort that you can find in the Word of Life. Amen. You know, we began our study by asking the question today, why do we need to hold forth the Word of Life? You know, people say, oh, that book is old-fashioned, it's out of date, it wasn't written by God, it was written with man, it's not, you know, it's not keeping up with the times and so forth and so on. But you and I have discovered on the study, we have discovered several reasons why we as Christians need to do so. We saw that we need to hold forth the Word of Life, number one, because in the Word we find Christ. Amen. You're not going to find Christ anywhere else but in the Word of Life. Oh, you may find his name mentioned here or there, or scattered around somewhere, but you're not really going to find him like you should. You're not going to really know him like you should. You may read some other things that will give you the historical accounts, but my friend, that's not going to save you. You need to know Jesus Christ personally. Amen. And if you want to find Christ, you can find him in the Word of Life, the Word of God. The second thing we discovered, the reason why we need to hold forth the Word of Life, is in the Word we find salvation. We find exactly what God wants you and I to do to be saved, to know when we die that we'll go to heaven, amen, that our sins will be forgiven. And we're born again not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible seed, which is the Word of Life, which is the Word of God. We also discovered together the reason why we need to hold forth the Word of Life is in the Word of Life, we find faith. Amen. We find faith. Romans 10:17 tells us, "For then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." We saw that Cornelius and his household was saved when they heard the preached Word of God. Amen. They were saved by grace through faith. Faith in that they believe what they heard. They believe that Christ died. He died for their sins, was buried, and rose again from the dead to save them. And then we saw the reason we need to hold forth the Word of Life is in the Word of Life we find life. Capital L. Jesus Christ, the life. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If you want to find the source of all life, amen, it only can be found in the Word of Life. And then we also discover the reason we need to hold forth the Word of God, or the Word of Life, is in the Word we find growth. That's how a Christian grows, by reading and studying the Word of God and memorizing the Word of God and listening to the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. That's how one grows in grace and in the knowledge. Amen. Is it not? In the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is in the Word of Life. Then we also discovered together that the reason we need to hold forth the Word of Life is because we find cleansing. Cleansing, amen, cleansing from our sins. Jesus Christ said to his disciples and to us, "We're cleansed by the words that he's spoken to us." Amen. We're cleansed by taking heed to the Word of God, are we not? Amen. We find cleansing. Cleansing. That's right. We find cleansing in the Word of God. We find cleansing, too, the sanctification. He said to the Father, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." See? We're set apart by the Word of God. We're set apart. We're holy and made pure by the Word of God. And then we finally saw that the reason we need to hold forth the Word of God is that in the Word we find comfort. Comfort to get us, keep us going in this wicked world, to know that the rapture's coming, we'll be with the Lord. Those of our friends and relatives that have died believing in Christ will be resurrected too. And so will we ever be with the Lord. Amen to that. Christian, what are you holding forth these days? Is it something other than the Word of Life? Then you are in trouble. That is why you are powerless. That is why you are never able to get the victory over sin in your life. That is why you've never led anyone to the Lord. Or that's why you've never or stopped leading people to the Lord. And that is why instead of living the victorious Christian life, you're always living in spiritual defeat. My friend, if you haven't been holding forth the Word of Life, then you need to start right now. Remember, it's never too late to get started. Well, this is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you once again for joining me for the Pastor Study. Until we meet again, may God richly bless each and every one of you, is my prayer, and good day.